Okay, good. So, so you're saying, I think you're also, again, we're just continuing the chshatz again. So we had a bunch of questions yesterday, so we're trying to answer them. So I think you're all saying very good. And basically, I'm thinking of some sort of combination of all the different things that you guys are saying. But just for starters, I noticed, I mean, I didn't know about this yesterday, but there's a Rosh, which I found last night, who he answers one of our problems. I mean, I was thinking of the same thing. I think it's similar to what Matt's saying also, I think is what he's saying. But let's see it. It's always good when you have a Rishon, you know, you're not just saying something, but the Rishon says it. So it says, he says, on the question, which the Gemara asks, is who said we're worried about Chashad? So he says, Shechoshtin oso shalokiyim ha-mitzvah. Who said that we suspect the guy that he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah? Av chashad mamon, but a chashad in the area of money, for instance, ashkan tuva. We have many cases. Kedamrina and partim lacherim, and partim lansman. So here's the case. Gavai tztaka. So I mean, he says here. I mean, it's not. The truth is, it's not only my mamon. You have other cases. Presumably, he knows. But I mean, I'm saying for instance, because there are other cases also. But his point here is that who says that we're worried about chashad by a mitzvah? That you didn't do a mitzvah. Who said you choshed a guy that you didn't do a mitzvah? Yeshua choshed a guy that he's not a gaz, that he's not a ganav, that he's not stealing, that he's not involved in some sexual affair. Or not choshed a guy that he's the bad guy. He's doing averos. Okay, but to say who said that we're choshed a guy that he didn't do a mitzvah? Okay, that he's not doing a mitzvah. That's a different thing. That's a different thing. Now you'll say, so what about my davening? You walk by a shul. What about that case? Right, that's a case where it seems like you're not doing a mitzvah, right? But I think that case is like the Rambam said. Is remember if the guy's wearing tefillin, then he says it's okay, because then we say that he's a guy who loves mitzvahs or something, and he's not enomi mevat leha tefillah. He's not a guy who's not a mevatel tefillah. So like tefillah isn't just a guy. A guy who's mevatel tefillah. But apparently tefillah isn't just like a mitzvah. Like a guy's mevatel tefillah is like a rasha kind of guy. You know, you just knock out tefillah. Like it's not just a mitzvah. Like there are mitzvahs and then there are mitzvahs. You know. But the thing is, like a guy's walking by a shul is like tefillah is their acceptance of God, right? Like it says, like if you don't bow down at Aleinu, it looks like you're a kofar. I mean, like tefillah is like is a person, a subordination to God. So a guy is ignoring tefillah, so it's like he's that's not just not a mitzvah to say he's not doing. That's already like a guy's doing a resha. A guy who just ignores tefillah is like a rasha. It's an asay, but it's not just a mitzvah asay. But a guy doesn't do pay or doesn't do ner chanukah. That's a mitzvah asay. Who says that we're choshed that a guy? That's what Gemara is asking. Who says we're choshed? A guy doesn't do mitzvah asay. Regular mitzvah asay. We have to set up a framework, but I'm saying this is what the Tos Rosh is answering that question. What's the difference between all these other cases? He's pinpointing it's a specific case here.
Wait, so it's not lo asay? Is that what he's saying?
Well, again, I don't know if it's exactly asay versus lo asay. I mean, but I'd say. Right. No, right. Well, it is. It's Geneva. But I think it means is like. I think it's saying is that it's one thing to say Choshe, the guy's a Rasha, he's a terrible guy. Versus the say that a guy is versus say that a guy is just not doing a particular mitzvah. There's different characters of mitzvahs. For instance, there's a losa say also to cut your whole field of bepeya. There's a losa say to cut your whole field down. So it's not just an asay. I don't think he's just saying it's a say versus losa. But the losa say is don't knock out peya, don't not do the mitzvah of peya. So I don't know if it's a technical idea of a say or a losa say. But I mean we have to give justification for it. But chashad means is that you're a bad guy. It doesn't just mean like a choshed guy. Looks, you didn't do a particular mitzvah. Okay, that's a different idea to say if you're worried, people are going to suspect that you're a bum and you're a guy who's like a ganav, you know, you're a thief or you're a guy with an arayos. It's like a choshed gavra that he's like a bad guy. He's like a rasha. He knocks out tefillah.
Like above, like a technical violation of an issue.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Right. Exactly. You're right. A systemic problem. Choshed that you're gavra who's a rasha or is off the track. That's a problem. But how do you know you're choshed that a guy didn't do a mitzvah? Choshed they'll think that you didn't do a particular ma'aseh mitzvah. Okay, so a guy didn't do a particular ma'aseh mitzvah. How do you know chashad applies to there? Again, why we'd say that or not, I think we have to get into a little more about chashad, which we'll get to in a second. Well, no, I'm not saying that there's less of a reason to be choshed a guy. It's more, maybe you'd think it's more probability that a guy wouldn't do a mitzvah than a guy wouldn't do a, you know, it would be a rasha. But there's more danger in people thinking that you're, and so if you're letting on to people that you're a ganav, that's worse. If you're letting on to people that you're involved in a rias, that's worse. If you're letting on to people that you don't care about davening, that's worse. Letting on to good people that you didn't do a particular mitzvah, okay, fine. Look, I did do the mitzvah. People think I didn't. Okay, fine, so I think I didn't do a mitzvah. Big deal. So is that so much of a problem? Does that really destroy the whole, whatever the problem with chashad is? That's a different type of problem. Answered implicitly. Okay? Because the question is, but what's the whole idea of chashad in the first place, though? I mean, I'm just saying, I started here because it starts the rush, so it's a clue in this thing. But what's the whole idea of chashad? Who cares? You could ask, who cares? Right? I mean, I'm sure there are people who relate to themselves as philosophers who say, what do I care what they think? I don't care about what people think about me. Who cares? So let them think I'm a rasha. Let them think I'm not doing the mitzvah. I'm doing the mitzvah. What do I care? Let people think what they want. But it's all between me and God anyways. Right? But I think that was right, is you have to look at the source. That's the thing. It's a pasuk. It says you have to be clean in God's eyes and in the Jews' eyes. So it wouldn't have sufficed for Bnei Gad and Reuven to say, listen, we really are we have full trust in God that he could destroy all the people in Eretz Yisrael. We have no fears whatsoever, and we'd be willing to do it. But look, we like this land. Even if that's true, that that's their thinking, but that's not tolerated. That you're obligated not just to say, to worry about you and your relationship between God, between you and God, but you have to worry about Klal Yisrael. Which means that we're an Am, we're a nation, and as a nation, we're a nation committed to the system of the Torah, and the system of the Torah exists through the nation. It's a national phenomenon, and Kiddush Hashem, for instance, the objective of the Torah, of Kiddush Hashem, takes place through the nation. It's not there. Okay, fine. Yeah. Okay, so it takes place through the nation. So since that's the case. So the nation, like if Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven would have great internal trust in God, but they would do an action which manifests the fear of, that they're afraid of the people in Eretz Yisrael, then that's what Moshe rebuked them. This is going to destroy the whole Klal. So it's very nice internally, you're very perfected, but the whole nation is going to fall apart and they're going to rebel because you guys decided that you don't care about anyone else. You have to care about anyone else. You are a nation, and the nation has to be concerned about the nation. And the nation doesn't work by individuals being perfected internally, but you're obligated to be clean from the eyes of people, for God and the eyes of people. And the nation is moved through people. Everyone, there's a psychological, like Matt was saying, there's a psychological effect of people on each other. And if one person is lax and one person is stealing, so this is okay? I can get away with this. This is pretty good. Or if one person is involved in our IOS, then everyone gets ideas. People learn from each other, these types of things. And if on the contrary, if the whole Torah society is following the Torah, then people also learn that. There's social forces involved here. That's what Ram says. It's like good to be with a good society. It's important to live with good people. I mean, people are impacted by their society, by their surroundings. But I mean, there's an idea of where that Klal Yisrael will be is affected, or the system of the Torah is for the nation. And for the nation, it's important that the nation knows that the nation is keeping it. It's important for the nation of Shemiras Torah that everyone's doing it. And it's hard to keep Torah on your own. Okay, so you're obligated in your doing the mitzvahs. You're obligated, first of all, it's usher to do something which gives the implication that you're Knegat Torah, that you're really like a Rasha. That's the first halacha. You can't imply that you're involved in Geneva. There are certain things that have like a certain attractiveness, and certain things are really against the whole Torah. Is that to imply that you deny God, or you deny davening, or you're a ganav, or you're a thief, or you're involved in arayos, or you don't care about avoda, you don't care about the base of mikdash. See, that's why also it's an essay. But to imply that you don't care about avoda Hashem, it's not just not doing an essay. I mean, you don't care about kavanos, and I mean that's the whole kavanos is recognition of God. But to say, that's saying is that's being Nisim Nikim and Hashem Yisrael. That creates an Esser. That creates an Esser. In the light of Ner Chanukah. I don't know if there's a profile of a guy who doesn't light Ner Chanukah. So you light a Hanukkah. I mean, you do all the mitzvahs, so you light a Hanukkah. There's an idea, like you see, like Grinty says, you worry about a guy in shul, you have to make sure you imply, you don't look like you're a kofar. I mean, tefillah is a whole, there's a gavro who's a kofar, who's a denier of tefillah, who's a denier, you know, these are phenomenon, or a ganav, or a rayos. But I mean, I don't think there's a guy who's a knock of a denier of Ner Hanukkah. I mean, it's a mitzvah say, so it's true, you don't do the mitzvah say, so it's bad, you're supposed to do mitzvahs. But to say that, like, there's no, it's not like a gavro like that, and it's not, That's a different type of a thing. That also doesn't undermine the whole system. I mean, the guy doesn't do a mitzvah. Okay, so look, he's an avayan. The guy doesn't undermine a particular avera, that doesn't destroy the system. It's not what destroys the system. I mean, look, it's important to always have everyone do mitzvahs, and that's great. But I mean, what destroys the system is the guys who are real Roshan. And that has an appeal to, especially in areas that has an appeal to them. I mean, like, you have to really define when and where. It could be you'd have to do more, go into more of the cases, you know? But I'm not saying I'm defining exactly the lines. Cause, I mean, there are a bunch of cases, you know. But I'm giving a basic, you know, intuitive approach of when it would or when it wouldn't apply. But there are certain things which destroy, which are fundamental avarayanim, which are, you know, sinners who are really undermine the system. And that's
what I'm.
Okay, so therefore, so the Gemara is asking, so I understand that's kashad. But how do you know? Now there's another thing. See, the other thing is like this. See, that's an idea. That's one idea of kashad. Is that you can't do things that imply you're a rasha. I just call it that. You can't do things that imply you're a rasha. But then now there's another idea, which the Gemara is introducing, which is that, and the Gemara is not backing off of that idea. That's the idea of kashad. But there's another idea of kashad, which is that. That since the objective of the Torah is that the nation, there's a national idea that the nation will be involved in mitzvahs, so therefore in the Torah will, or the Rabbanan will formulate mitzvahs in a way which will be removed from chashad, or which will be clear to people that you're doing them, or certainly that won't give the implication that you're not doing them. Okay, in other words, that the Torah formulates a mitzvah, for instance, like by Peah. The Torah specifically went out of its way to formulate the mitzvah Peah in a way that no one will suspect you. People will not get any ideas. It's a far-fetched type of a thing where you're the guy, what kind of bum is thinking that? It's true, it doesn't mean that's such a, you know, the guy is really, see by tefillah, like, I shouldn't be, like, maybe let's take a step back for one second. Let's say by davening. So if there's two doors in the shul, so you don't say the guy is doing something which implies that I'm a rasha. It's like there's another explanation. So I'm not obligated. In terms of the isser of chashad, is you can't do that which implies that you're a rasha. So if there's another door, then I'm not doing that. Now, a guy may think that. Okay, fine. A guy may think that. That's not my problem. My problem is you don't say, if I do something which is, that's the clear implication of my action is that I'm a rasha, that's what the isser is. It's an isser. Chashad is like an isser. An isser of chashad. It's an isser to do action, to do actions that imply that you're a rasha. And once there's a very good alternate explanation, that's not the isser. Okay, that's not the isser. Fine. So it's not an isser. I'm allowed to walk by a shul if there's another door. But now what the Gemara is saying is that besides for the isser of chashad, the Torah formulated mitzvos in a way which is mufka from chashad, which is removed from chashad. Okay? Which means that even though in terms of Peah, there are different explanations. Look, maybe he took it off in the middle, maybe he took it off, who knows when he took it off. What it's saying is that bottom line is some people will suspect you. And look, are they good guys for suspecting you? No. But bottom line is they will. So the thing is that the Torah formulated, again, where the mitzvah allows for it, when this allows for it, lends itself to it, that the Torah formulated the mitzvah in a way that is mufka from chashad. That's removed from chashad. That's manifest to all. It set it up so that Peah in a way that's at the end of the season or the end of the field. So this way, it's manifest that he did it. Because Peah is a visible thing. People will see it, and it lends itself to people doubting you. People saying, "Oh, the guy's being cheap. He doesn't want to do whatever." So the structure of the mitzvah was designed in a way that it's at the end of the field. That's a detail of the mitzvah. It's at the end of the field, which satisfies that idea in mitzvahs. That again, since the mitzvahs are a national phenomenon and they're accomplished best when the nation as a whole is doing them and sees that everyone else is doing them, So the, in the structure, so mitzvahs are structured in a way that's manifest, and that's removed from chashad. That's removed from chashad. So removed from chashad is different than the isser. See, an isser of chashad, so isser, you're worried about that which really implies, which points to rishos, which says a marasha. And if there's a good other explanation, so then it's not an isser for me. Look, will someone be choshen? Yeah, maybe he will, but that's not an isser. The isser is to do that which implies that a marasha. But that's in so far as the isser chashad. But in this Gemara, it's talking about a whole different phenomenon. Is that how do I know that mitzvos, that when the Torah sets up mitzvos, it sets them up in a way that in my doing of mitzvos, I have to be removed from chashad. That's a different idea. Removed from chashad, so even if it's a far-fetched possibility, even if someone will suspect me and there's another explanation, still, that's not removed from chashad. So saying that since that's part of the objective of mitzvot, they function on the national level, so therefore the mitzvot are set up in a way that's removed from chashad, and that's the way it's structured.
So what's the difference again, like, between the two?
Right. Yeah, right, exactly. Right, exactly. So good, Adam, so good. Right, so it was when, so now by Ner Chanukah, what you're saying is now the Chazal are setting up Ner Chanukah. And setting up Ner Chanukah, now the question is where do you have to light? So intrinsically, they say, in terms of Ner Chanukah itself, you say, light one candle. But now they say, but wait a second. That if you set up light one candle, there are going to be people who walk by and they suspect you. Now, look, if you did that, you wouldn't say you're violating the Isra Hashad, because, look, let them realize, maybe I'm lighting the other one, just like by Tefillah. That's not an Isra. It's not also for me to do that, because they have to check their, check themselves. Why do they have to suspect me? But bottom line is, so I'm not going to be going an answer, but people are going to be suspecting, and there will be, a phenomenon that people will think that some people are doing the mitzvah of Sner Hanukkah and some people aren't. That's what people are going to think. So the thing is that Chazal, because of that, they follow the cue of the Torah from Peah, and they set up the mitzvah that they chayat l'Ner Hanukkah not only once in your bias, but at every direction. Was that they incorporate the chashad into the chiv of the mitzvah. So Ner Chanukah is mechayiv, you light it at all the windows, at all the directions. And so in order so that it will be mufka from chashad, because the purpose of the mitzvahs are to be for the nation to be involved in the mitzvahs, and for people to see that. So if it would partake of a little bit of chashad, or a small part, some people would suspect you. They set it up in a way that they set the mitzvah in a way that doesn't exist. That's in the structuring of a mitzvah. But if they didn't structure that into a mitzvah, then that doesn't mean that every individual is obligated to worry about what some people may think about him. That's not an isser. Because the isser is if I do something which implies, which has a clear implication of isser. That's the isser. That's what I can't do, of reshus. That's the isser for me. But then, and first of all, that's only by a rishos. That's not going to be by a mitzvah asay. Just look, so I imply that I'm not doing a mitzvah asay. Fun. It's only mitzvah asay. It doesn't destroy the whole system. But it says, but then, that's not my yeser. But then it's saying is a different framework is how the Chazal structured mitzvahs. Or how the Torah structured mitzvahs. So it says Torah structured mitzvahs in a way which is mufka from chashad. That is true. It may not destroy the system, but the objective of the Torah is brought about through it being manifest that through the nation keeping it. So the Torah set it up in a way that's totally removed from people saying that. So if you set up the mitzvah, you have to light in one window. So then it will lend itself to people saying, oh, that bum didn't light candles. So they set it up in a way that includes that you have to light not only the intrinsic candle, but you have to also light a chashad candle. That's the chiyuv mitzvah. The chiyuv mitzvah is to light at both windows. But if I lit my candles, so I was yotzei mitzvah Ner Chanukah, and then it blows out. That's what Adam said. That's already how they structure the mitzvah. But they structure the mitzvah. Structure the mitzvah. I was yotzei mitzvah. Now it goes out. So now the question is: now does that obligate me to do another thing, to do a new mitzvah, right? Because I was already yotzei mitzvah. So this says no. What's going to obligate me to do that? That's not the structure of the mitzvah, and it's not an isser of hashad. I'm not even doing anything. That's certainly not an isser of hashad. Right, that's not an isser. The isser is for me to do something that's giving that implication. But here I'm not doing that. So altogether, there's nothing to obligate me. Okay. So now Matt asks a good question. According to this, you would think would stand to follow that if you did it, let's say you only lit at one window, so you'd say, you know, you say the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah near Hanukkah, we're saying, is they structured the mitzvah in a way that it's really, you know, includes Chashan. So it's both. So you could say, maybe you're not. Right? Yeah, right, intrinsically you could say that. Right? And I wouldn't have a problem saying that. Right? Problem is the Ran. Okay, which I don't know if anyone argues. I looked around. I didn't see anyone explicitly arguing with the Ran. I saw other people quoting him, but I didn't see anyone explicitly arguing with him. But the Ran says that you don't make a bracha on the second one because it's only because of Chashav. Okay, and we deduce there must be the cases where there's a hafzik. Right, where you have some sort of a break, a gap in time or whatever between the two. Because otherwise, why would he light in why would he make a new bracha? So it's talking about there's a break. And it's saying is that even though you're lighting another Ner Chanukah and there's a break, still you don't make a bracha. Why not? It's part of the Mitzvah Ner Chanukah. He says, no, because it's only because of Chashad. Implying that if it weren't because of Chashad, if there were intrinsically the halacha was you had a light at both doors, then you would make two brachas, right? But the reason why you're not is because it's only because of Chashad. So isn't that implying that this thing is, that really, it's not that you're, it's not the mitzvah, it's not part of the structure of the mitzvah, it's some separate thing? And if you wouldn't do it, wouldn't it, doesn't it also imply that you're yotzei the mitzvah, you're just not yotzei Chashad? Right? So, and isn't that a question of what we're saying? Or is it not? Okay? How about we'll leave that question, and then we'll also, that's one question, let's leave that, that's a good question. Right, Matt, that's what you're asking basically, right? Okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, okay, the next question, the other question which we haven't taken up yet is also, is the Gemara's Havim Askana about, are you worried about Chashad of people from a different city? Okay, are you worried about people from another city? Right? Worried from another city. Or only from your city. So what's that having in Moskana? Or in Moskana, you're not worried about other cities. So the Meiri addresses the question. I'll tell you what he says. He explains why you're not worried about the other city. And he says, the Chashad b'nei Yer Acheres Ein Choshem. Right? We're not worried about the Chashad of people from other cities. She'ein tolem ha'inyan. Because they attribute the matter to their lack of knowledge. Okay, they attribute, they're from another city, and they attribute the problem. Remember, what are we worried about in the other city? That they're going to say maybe the house is split, right? It's the same side of the house, same side of the street, and they'll say maybe the house is split, and maybe there's a guy not lighting candles. So why don't you have to worry about that? It says, well, because they really attribute it to their lack of knowledge. Right, they say, oh, well, I don't really know. What do I know? Right, so that's why you don't have to worry about it. So what do you think about that? Right. Exactly. Is that the time saying? I don't see how's he answering the question. There's people the people who live in the city also. I mean, they're walking on one side of the street. So now they'll say, oh, he didn't light on this one. Must be he didn't light on the other side. Well, so why don't they attribute it to their lack of knowledge? They didn't see the other side. So they know what the house is like on the inside, but they didn't see the other side of the street. So if you're telling me is that in Chashad you assume that a guy is going to attribute it to his lack of knowledge, then there's no Chashad altogether. I mean, in this case also, he only went on one side, he didn't go on the other side. Right? But presumably that's what we're worried. We're worried is the guy's not going to attribute it to that. That's the whole idea of Chashad. We're worried the guy is going to not attribute it to his lack of knowledge. So what's the difference if he's from this year or from that year? Right? The question is, so the question is how is that really addressing the problem? Doesn't really seem to be addressing it. So you have two options. You can either try to defend the Meiri, or try to explain the Havim Askana differently, or a third option is do both. Okay? But I mean, it sounds difficult. Sounds like it's just those. I mean, he's definitely saying something. Right? I mean, what he's saying doesn't make sense. But obviously, it's not. I mean, you don't need to be brilliant to realize that he's not. This is what he's saying doesn't answer the question. So obviously, he's addressing, alluding to something, which we're not getting, so we have to get what he's saying. Okay?